about Chovel, so the prohibition of drawing blood on Shabbos. So independent from refuah, independent, right? Refuah might be to make someone healthy, right? Because there are mishum shlikat saman, you can't do anything if we get some on Shabbos. Right? There might be an independent prohibition of Chovel. So now you can violate Chovel in, not in the context of refuah. Chovel, you can, right? Chovel means to wound. Okay? So we're already, okay, so it sounds like we're already kind of defining what the prohibition is. But, so which one of the, so it has to fit into one of the 39 malachos. Which one of the 39 malachos is going to be drawing blood? Okay, shchita. That can be machlokes. Or let's say shchita. So shchita sounds good, right? So shchita.
Ktsira.
Interesting. Why ktsira?
Can you not like cut your nails and brush your hair and things like that?
Yes.
Or ktsira.
That might be either kotzer or gozes. Kotzer.
Separating.
Separating, right? So you have ktsira. Ktsira or gozes. Gozes means to cut the wool off the sheep. Whatever. Same idea. Or you're saying separating, which would be a disha. Right? Okay.
What about making a hole?
Making a hole. Okay.
Boring.
Making a hole usually fits under either you're building something or you're breaking something. So it's either bona or soter. To build or to destroy.
Chorish?
Generally not. Generally, chorish requires the ground. That's what ktsira usually requires a garret. Gozes to be off an animal, so it's already different, right? Ktsira requires you to cut something from the ground. Gozes you're shearing wool.
To make that a mark.
A mark? What do you mean?
Like on your skin, or like
so they are coloring, right? Could be coloring. So what if I draw blood without making a mark? I'm good. I can draw blood without making a mark. So you, right? Okay, fine. So it could be any one of these things. So we think we know drawing blood is not on Shabbos. Can't draw blood on Shabbos, right? Okay. So we're going to try to figure out, first of all, which category it fits into, and given what category it fits into, and what level of Isser it's going to be. Is it going to be an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan? Who we can do this for, right? Because if it's an Isser D'Oraisa, we can only do it for Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana. If it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, we could do it either, right? If it's an Isser D'Oraisa, a Jew could only do it for another Jew, for a Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, someone whose life is in danger. If, even if it's an Isser D'Oraisa, you can ask a non-Jew to do it for a Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana. Right? Because Ein Bo Sakana you can do it D'Rabbanan.
Or you can do it
B'Shinui. For Cholos Ein Bo Sakana you can do it D'Rabbanan B'Shinui. For Sakanas Eiver you could do it D'Rabbanan without a Shinui. I would not recommend drawing blood B'Shinui. It's dangerous. We'll talk about different ways to draw blood. We already talked about the IV. We'll talk about different ways of drawing blood. I would not recommend drawing blood B'Shinui. Except in very rare circumstances. Maybe. So, okay. So, when do you have to draw blood on Shabbos? So let's think about it. Because if it's always going to be a Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, so it's going to be an interesting shir. We'll talk about Lamdis, and we'll say it's a D'Oraisa, but who cares if it's a Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana? And if you can't reset, but for the Ramah, for a Chol HaShayesh Bo Sakana, you should always try to do a Shinui whenever you can. Right? So this might be one of those cases where you can't. So when would you normally draw blood in the course of normal human interaction? But we don't do that, right? We don't draw blood in the course of human interaction. Fair enough. Okay, so you could either do a blood test, right? Let's just pick cases. You could do a blood test.
And check someone's blood sugar.
Right, that's sort of what I was getting, right? So blood test, let's talk about, you go to the doctor / hospital / medical professional, right? They stick a needle into your arm. Blood comes out into a tube, yes? Blood comes out into a tube, we send that blood off to a test. We need the blood to see what's in it, right? We want to look at the sodium content. We want to look at the antibodies, we're going to find out if a person has hepatitis, if a person has HIV, or whatever it is, we need the blood for the blood test, right? We want to know what's going on. So that usually happens so in the hospital, and we draw blood from the vein, right? So let's just think about it for a moment. You probably all had blood tests in your life, right? Okay, what happens is, so we take a needle, it's called a butterfly needle, it gets stuck into your vein, right? The blood fills into the tube, and then what happens? You take this this tube, right? So this is going to be important later. So sometimes, have you ever noticed they have these little test tubes, right? That they pop onto the end,
yeah.
Right? The needle is like a needle like this.
It creates a vacuum or something.
Yeah, and then you have a tube, and then you have, it's called a vacuum cleaner, right? Because it's a vacuum and a container, so a vacuum cleaner.
Is it after? You mean
So we stick the needle into you.
Oh, during that.
Right? And then there's a tube. And at the end of the tube, they pop on this test tube, right? You ever seen this? There's like a little container here, right?
Oh,
there's something like this. No, ever. There's like a little end, and at the end, you're not paying attention, they put on a container. Now, in each one of these things, so the different colors, sometimes they're orange or purple and green and blue, right? They have all sorts of different colors. You ever seen this? No? They have different colors? Right, they have different, you know why they have different colors? It's not just different companies. They're pretty actually uniform. Different tests, right? Because the blood has to be kept in different ways to allow for different testing to take place, which makes sense, right? Different clotting factors, whatever. So each cap indicates something about what's contained in that tube, about clotting factors. Is the blood going to clot? Is it going to separate out? Is it going to do whatever? Right? So different chemicals are in each tube. What's important about each tube is a vacuum. So blood is going to flow out of this tube really slowly, right? Let's think about it. So what do your veins do?
They work.
Arteries.
They bring deoxygenated blood back to the
heart. Right. They take the blood from what was used back to the heart. They're not pumping. Right? Arteries pump. This is pretty much going back. Either the arteries are pumping, and this is just the whatever's left. Right? So you get a little bit of pumping action. Right? Right. It's more blue. It's coming up back into the heart. Right? So it's coming. So it has valves. The vein has valves. Right? Because the blood is traveling more slowly, we don't want the blood to flow backwards. Right? Arteries don't need valves because it's pushing the blood out. So the veins have valves to prevent them from going back. So if the vein is going towards my heart, right? If I put a needle in this way, not a lot of blood is going to come out into my tube. A little bit will. When I put the vacuum on it, though, so the vacuum sucks the blood out, right? Now I think
it's like you're siphoning the blood out.
It seems like you're actually pulling it out, right? You're putting this on, and that's drawing the blood out, okay? I mean, a little bit of blood gets into the tube, and then putting this on draws more blood out. And so sometimes you need to do three different tests, right? Which all, let's say you need to do a regular chemistry panel, you want to know the sodium content and the glucose content, etc. You know, sodium, potassium, so you need one of these orange top tubes, and you want to run a clotting assay, so you need a blue tube, and you want to run, I forget which one requires purple at this point, but different, whatever, you want to run, so you have to put on one tube, take it off, put it in the next tube, take it off, put it in the next tube, take it off. Three separate mycin, right? We'll talk about that, it'll become relevant. So you can also test your blood sugar. So who tests their blood sugar?
People that have diabetes.
Right, diabetics, right? They have to know what their blood sugar is because they're not making enough insulin. Insulin takes the sugar in your blood and lets it enter your cells. So either this person has type 1 diabetes and is not making insulin, and so the blood is not entering the cells because the body doesn't realize that it has to go into the cells, so you have to make insulin. The person has no insulin, so we're providing them with insulin. Or they have type 2 diabetes, and classically type 2 diabetes, they're making insulin, so the body's just not responding to it for whatever reason. They need more insulin in order for their body to respond appropriately. So they have to supplement the insulin that they have. So depending on what their blood sugar is and what they're about to eat will make a difference how much sugar is going to be in their blood, right? So you have to take your blood sugar before. So how do you take blood sugar? Anyone seen this happen before?
Yeah, the little machine that they
prescribe. Yeah, and then like those, you use them like one time, they keep like in a jar, like small needle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you prick your finger,
yeah.
Right? It's like a machine that pricks your finger. Why is it one time? So it's sterile, right? Because it's going to enter your bloodstream. You don't want dirty things entering your bloodstream. So you're going to draw blood, and then you put it either on like a... Then you have to get the blood into the machine somehow to test your blood, right? So they either have a strip, and you put the strip on your finger, and then you put the strip into the machine. You put the machine directly on, all sorts of different ways, and right, they advertise for these things in Reader's Digest. You can see them. Right? Okay, but you have to draw blood. So maybe you could do that machinely. Maybe. It doesn't really matter. When you're drawing blood from a vein, I need to fill up a tube. So pricking my finger is going to give me a drop or two. That's not going to fill up a tube. I need to go into your vein. So you have to do that properly, because what happens if I don't go into your vein properly, right? Let's say I go through the vein, right? The vein's not so sturdy. I can actually stick my needle and go, right? The vein is like this. I can actually put my needle straight through like this. So that's not good. What I want to do is have the needle in here, into the vein, right? So I can draw out the blood. But let's say I poke through. So now I made a hole. And now we have a problem, right? Because now I made a hole in your vein. So blood is now going to be spilling out of your vein into your arm. It's not the end of the world, but you'll get a mark. It's not going to be good. It's called blowing the vein. It's not a good idea. You can really mess things up. If it's where, right, there's supposed to be these valves. So let's say the blood's flowing this way. So have these valves. Sort of like this, right? Now the blood can get through this way, but not that way. If you go through the valve, so then you have a bigger problem because now you made a hole in the valve, right? It's not good.
How do you know through the valve? I mean,
you don't.
Oh, okay.
You're aiming to get it in here. How do you know if you got it in here?
How often are there valves?
Sort of random. You're probably not going to get a valve. But you could if you went through. So normally you're just trying to go through into here. How do you know if you're here? Well, you know if you're here because the tube will start filling up with blood, right? If you go through, you get a speck of blood or something like that. They won't actually, when you hit a vein, the tube will start filling up about halfway. Because just release the pressure. Even though the venous system is lower pressure, it's a little bit of pressure. And you'll know you're in a vein. You can know easily. Because first of all, the tube will fill up. Second of all, once you put the vac container on, you're drawing blood, right? Because otherwise you won't. So you gotta do it right. You have to know what you're doing. Okay? It's hard to do machinery. So the
I like some people who is so queasy.
Okay, I can draw blood. I thought I did a good used to do a good job at it too, but I can't stand up to do it for me. But you're really supposed to do it by touch also, not by sight. You're supposed to feel for the vein, right? That's why they put the tourniquet on so you can see the veins better. Okay? You can see the vein, so it pops out a little bit, you can feel it. But fine. With the blood sugar test, it doesn't really matter exactly. We only need a drop or two of blood, right? Even if I puncture a muscle, I'll get a drop or two of blood. So it doesn't really matter what I puncture. So in theory, and you're using this machine often that has a poker and that has like some sticky thing at the end, so you just hold it there and it sticks you. In theory, you could do that machinery if necessary. It's possible because you're not really going to mess anything up, right? It's just a tiny drop, it's just a tiny blow.
Isn't it a
Yeah, for the Rama, we should always try to do a shinui even for a Chol HaShi'esh Masakana, right? I was saying, it's physically possible. Do you have to, do you not have to do a separate question? I don't think drawing blood from a vein is physically appropriate to do with a shinui. But for, it's possible, I think, to do it for a blood sugar test. That's all I'm saying. Now, yeah, diabetic might be considered a Chol HaShi'esh Masakana. And if we consider a Chol HaShi'esh Masakana, so we can violate it to the Raisa, we're going to assume, at least for the moment, that drawing blood is into the Raisa. But according to the Rama, you should do a shinui whenever you can. So if you can, it might be worse to use the back of your finger to push the button as opposed to the front of your finger.
Yeah.
Do the shinui if you can.
And you do it every day, so it's...
You do probably sometimes once a day, sometimes more time than once a day. So you can do a shinui so you know what Shabbos. But it's not going to have much of a... You're going to still have to have your machine on. There are other things you're going to have to do, but I'm just saying you could do this shinui. There's another type of blood test that we do only for Chol HaShi'esh Masakana. So it's not exactly relevant, but we do it. It's called an arterial stick. So normally go into your veins, right? Let's say we need to know the oxygen content of a person's... How well is a person oxygenating his blood? So if I take blood from the veins, that's not going to work. It's not going to give me an accurate picture, right? Because the heart gets... The blood becomes oxygenated in the lungs, goes back to the heart, and comes to the rest of the body, right? Then that blood gets unloaded into your organs, into your muscles, into whatever. And then whatever's left, meaning after the body has taken out that oxygen, whatever's left of that blood... all the blood and whatever's left of the oxygen comes back to the heart. So if I look, and you see, well, the hemoglobin in the venous blood is only 50% oxygenated. Now, okay, that's not really helpful. Maybe he started off with 100%, and his body's just using a lot of it. And so he's left with 50%. But that's not bad, right? Not necessarily bad. But I want to know, is he having a breathing problem? How do I know? If he has a breathing problem, that means that the oxygen going to the organs is going to be low, right? Yes, make sense? Oxygen coming from the heart, going to your brain, if that oxygen is low, then your brain's not going to get enough oxygen. Your pancreas, your liver is not going to get enough oxygen. So I have to go into your artery. So to go into your artery, arteries are deeper.
What's this test called?
It's called an A-stick, an arterial stick. An ABG, an arterial blood gas. So the way you do it is you have to find an artery, which you can't see. They're deep. So you have to, you can feel your, right where you feel your pulse. So your arteries pulsate, so you can feel an artery. And you do this blindly, because you can't see it again. So you have to feel it and then poke the guy. You also realize you're going deeper, so you have to make it clean. And you stick the same butterfly needle into the person's artery. That hurts like crazy, okay, because it's first of all deep. Second of all, your arteries are surrounded by nerves, which is what sort of, right? So it's going to hurt like crazy. Now this person is really, really, really sick. You don't do an ABG on someone who is healthy. This person is a Suffolk Chol HaShi'esh Masakana. It's going to be permissible no matter what. The way you then do it, though, is then you're just not going to get enough. You don't put a vacuum cleaner, you have to use a syringe. You put a syringe on the back of this and just pull out, right? So then it's a little bit challenging because you're holding the stick with one hand. But you're right, you have a syringe.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah. There's among medical students, it's like, once you can do this well, it's like, you're very proud of this. It's like, this is a hard thing to do for medical students.
Yeah.
And they let you do it, so okay. But So you have like a right syringe has like a plunger here, right? And so normally you shoot out, but if you pull this back, so then blood will start filling in your syringe. Then it has to be kept on ice, and you have to run the fight. So that's another type of blood draw that we do. That is only going to be done for cholos yesh basakana. ABGs are only done for cholos yesh basakana. And so it's, you can't do that machine. Can't do it machine. Right? It's hard enough to do shalom machine. Can't do it machine. I also had a patient once, she had diabetes and lupus, and they thought she had endocarditis. Her veins were not so good. And she had to get, she had endocarditis, meaning the her heart lining was infected. We thought it was infected. If someone has endocarditis, it's seen on the scan once, they get treated for, I don't even know how many weeks it was, 12 weeks with antibiotics. And now because nothing in her body is working properly, she's in kidney failure and lupus and diabetes, so how do you know how much medicine to give her, right? Normally we give you medicine, and we expect that the liver, the kidneys, clear out a certain amount of it. Her kidneys aren't working, right? And her whole system is not so good. So you have to draw blood every day to find out what level of the medicine is in her blood to know how much to give the next day. So yeah, so this woman did not have very good veins, and so sometimes we had to give her arterial sticks in order to find the, kind of sad. But, she was also African-American, so sometimes it's harder to find the veins. If you're looking by color, it's harder to tell. But Bechal, she had all these diseases and it was just harder to tell. And so sometimes we had to do an A-stick. Nobody was able to find veins, and we needed to know how much medicine to give her. It was a makom sakana, endocarditis, a makom sakana. And so certainly it was going to be permissible and mutter, and she agreed to it, but whatever, not fun. Okay, fine. So what's the issue? So we're going to see that there's a machlokas. Okay, any questions about the technical, how we do this? We'll talk about the IVs in a minute, because IVs are interesting. So the Rambam says, he thinks this is part of Disha. So Disha is separating. Remember, in order to bake, you have to first plant the seeds and then plow and deal with your plants. Then you have to cut, you have to kotzer them, right? And you have this wheat that you're kotzer, that they're going to make the bread out of. So back in the day, these are the steps of how you make bread. You cut the wheat, right? And then you have to separate the grains from the chaff. So you put it on the ground and you have your animals stomp on it. And that separates the kernels from the chaff, from that which is around it. That's called disha, separating. So anything that's separating on Shabbos is going to be usher. So the Rambam says, hadash ki grogeres chayav. If you're dash, how much do you have to be dash? You have to dash a certain amount. It's a shear. You have to be dash a grogeres. A grogeres is the amount of a small fig. Then you are chayav to bring a korban. Vein disha l'begidu l'karka, but disha only applies to that which grows from the ground. Fine. Then the farik, and anyone who separates anything, it's not disha. Disha applies specifically to wheat and barley type of things. Hamafarik toldah the dash. It's a tolada of dash. It's a derivative of dash. Right? So for example, a cholavis of a hema chayav misha mafarik. If you milk a cow, that's mafarik. You're separating out the milk from the cow. That's mafarik. Right? You're separating two things that were once together. That's mafarik. V'chein achovel b'chay sheyesh lo or chayav misha mafarik. And if you wound a person that has skin, or any creature that has skin, why that has skin? So that the blood comes out, right? Otherwise, separate discussion. Chayav mishum mefarik, right? You're chayav mishum mefarik. You're separating the blood from the person. Okay.
So we're able to learn that from it goes wheat, then the cow, and then people. Blood.
Disha is by wheat, and therefore anything else mefarik is chayav. Anything that's similar to separating is chayav. And the Rambam gives you some examples, such as milking a cow or wounding someone. Okay. When you're wounding someone, it has to be, right? You're wounding someone, you're separating the blood from their body. Very similar to milking the cow, right? We didn't really talk about nursing on Shabbos, but nursing on Shabbos should, in theory, be an issur. Right? How can a woman nurse on Shabbos? I'm not going to compare women to cows, but it's a similar process. So, nonetheless, women nurse on Shabbos. So you have to give a reason why that's permissible, because you can't milk a cow on Shabbos. So a woman, for example, is not allowed to nurse so there's two ways of nursing. Women can nurse a baby directly, or let's say the baby's not there for whatever reason, or she's choosing not to nurse the baby for whatever reason, she's at work. So you can pump, they have the mechanical pumps, so she can pump it to a bottle and then feed the baby later. That's usher on Shabbos, feeding the baby directly on Shabbos is mutter.
Can you drink from a cow directly on Shabbos?
So we discussed it. That's a mefarik b'shinu, right? So is that going to be nisad d'oraisa or nisad d'rabbanan? Right? So the Gemara says, in Ksuvah, Staf Samech, a goneach, someone who is experiencing this respiratory disease, is yonek kalav b'shabbos directly. He can do so. Koas is mefarik l'acharyat. It's mefarik with b'shinu. So now, depending on what level of isur you think cholev is, if it's d'oraisa b'shinu, what are we allowing this guy, what kind of level of sickness is he? So generally, no. If it's a derabbanon b'shinui, it's a chol she'eva sakana. If it's a deraisa, then you have to see it. Deraisa b'shinui, how are we going to deal with it? That was the case when we discussed a deraisa b'shinui for a chol she'eva sakana. That's the Gemara that we discuss. But generally, not. But we assume that it's normal for a baby to drink from directly from the mother. It's not normal for a human being to drink directly from a cow. I think that's fair. Right? I think that's a fair assessment. Okay.
Wait, but why is it winter for a baby to drink from a
We assume that that's normal. That's normal. Either he's a chol she'eva sakana's mother or anything. Right? Because otherwise you won't have food.
You're just saying it's not.
So the poskim have to go, we know it's mutter, and then they have to justify why it's mutter. Right? It's interesting why it should be mutter. Either because it's normal, and therefore it's not a malacha, or that we say, really, drinking from the cow would be, meaning drinking from the cow directly shouldn't be usher if it was normal. Right? It just drink, meaning mefarik has to be done, that you want to collect that which you're being mefarik. Right? The only chiyuv of dash is when you collect that which you've separated. If you're not collecting that which you've separated because you're eating it immediately, it would be mutter. The problem with the cow is it's not normal. So it's going to be separated, so you drop on it because it's not normal. But by the baby, it's normal, so and he's eating it directly, so it's fine. So what about pumping on Shabbos? So we assume pumping on Shabbos, you're collecting it, it's not being destroyed. Even if you would consider that to be normal, to be usher, whether I saw it or drop on it. Right? So this comes up, so let's say it either comes up with women who are working. And so they want to have milk for their babies. And so they still want to have breast milk, so they're going to pump at work. So that's already, you should have to work on Shabbos, and then you don't have this problem. But in theory, that should be also, right? Let's say for whatever reason, you can't feed your baby for whatever reason, you don't want to, so you're doing it into a bottle, you're pumping directly, and you're collecting it in an abnormal way, right? Even if it's normal, you're collecting it, then it'd be also. The question is, what about, so sometimes when babies are premature, for example, baby's born early and is in the NICU, the neonatal ICU, for a couple of days, weeks, whatever. So Baruch Hashem, really, it's amazing if you, like, I remember talking to my grandmother about this. The number of babies that live today because of modern medicine is amazing, even given like 20, 30, 40 years ago. Just like if you talk to your parents or your grandparents, like it's amazing what happens, just in their experience, even if they're not medical professionals. Just realizing how many more babies make it today. Whatever. So let's say those babies, you want to give them breast milk, but you can't nurse them directly. Why? Either because they're in an incubator, you can't nurse them directly, or they sort of need to know exactly how much milk is going in, because we need to know exactly how much nutrients they're getting, so we need to measure it. So the way to measure is in the bottle. So they'll let you nurse, but you have to pump it into a bottle, and then give it to the baby so they know how much. So could you do that on Shabbos? So that's already a bigger machlokes, because this baby is b'sakana, right? Any baby in the ICU is b'sakana. So is this going to be mutter? Is it necessary? Is it not necessary? Also today we have formula, right? Which is parallel to breast milk. Might not be as good in some respects. Might be better in some respects. It doesn't have the same antibodies that a mother has. But it's very good. It's very, very, very good. So perhaps nowadays it would be different. Anyway, fine. So the Rambam says though, okay, so if you wound a living creature, you're chayef, not only a person, but also an animal, right? You cause it to bleed, because it's dots, right? Separating. You're separating the dot out from a dog, from a cow, from whatever. You shouldn't do these things. But also from a human being, you're a chayef. He says, V'hu shi'eyet sarif ladam shi'etzim in the chaburu. But you're only chayef means bring a korban, when you need the dam. Right? You're wounding him because you want the blood. What kind of mishugana wants the blood? Especially like, oh, why do you want the blood? Because you want the blood test, right?
Well, when you say need, you mean...
You need the blood. You actually want the blood.
Doing it
as opposed to...
The blood.
Yeah, you're wounding him to get the blood out because you have something you want to do with the blood. So the Gemara's case is you want to feed the blood to your dog. Right, okay? Today I would say, well, you want to do a blood test.
But just wanting to get the blood out is not...
We'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that. You're saying, well, I need the person to be without the blood. As opposed to, look... But if I just so upset at you that I slap you and you start bleeding, I don't really care for the blood, right? So I just want to hurt you. But It's not a good thing either, right? But I don't really care for the blood. I don't care whether the blood comes out or not. I'm trying to punch you. I don't really care whether the blood comes out or not, so it should be pater. However, he says that's true when it comes to an animal. If I'm just so upset at my horse that I slap the horse, I don't care whether it bleeds or not bleeds. I'm just upset at the horse. I'm taking out my aggression on my horse. Also, a bad thing, bad nidos. We're not encouraging this behavior. It might be tzar bali chayim, definitely not encouraged. Just a quick disclaimer. However, you're not chayim because it's melacha. You don't want the blood out. You don't care. But the Rambam says, achoved b'chaveiro, if you hit a person, your friend, guess it's not your friend. Afalishin is covered l'hazik chayim. If you only want to slap your friend because you're upset at him, and you don't really care if he bleeds, I guess that's a little bit crazy, right? That's a little bit sadistic. But like, you want to just hurt him, right? Because you're upset at him, you punch him. You don't really want him to bleed. You don't really care if he bleeds. He says, your chayim, if blood comes out, why would he nachas rucho shein iskara daito v'shachach hamas avarik metakein? Because when he bleeds, you feel a lot better. If you punch him, and you're so upset that you punch him, and he bleeds, you've accomplished more with your punching, and so you feel a little bit better. And so that's as if you needed the blood. So the Rambam says that's just ridiculous. But that's interesting, okay? So the Rambam says you're chayav mishum disha, right? You're chayav mishum dash, separating, and you need to have to want the blood, right?
You said that you're chayav to bring a korban.
Chayav to bring a korban. Otherwise, it's not going to be a gufa, it'll be an isidar. And isidar, it'll be also awesome. Wow. Yes. Okay. So it's interesting, right? So it needs to be. So the Rambam says you need the blood, because otherwise it'll be melachah shein shir l'gufa. Interestingly, the Rambam, however, paskins melachah shein shir l'gufa brings a korban. In all of the Shabbos, the Rambam says any melachah shein shir l'gufa, right? Remember when you dig a hole? We said the classic melachah shein shir l'gufa. Right, a melacha that does not require or is not necessary for its inherent purpose. I guess that's the way I'll describe it. Right, you dig a hole. Not because you want the hole, because you need the dirt. That's a melacha shein shir l'gufa. So we say, oh, you're puppet, right? You're not chayav midoraisa. The Rambam says you're chayav. He passes like that other approach. Okay, he says you're chayav. So if you hit someone and the blood comes out, you're only chayav when blood comes out. Even if I don't want the blood, I should be chayav, right? Because it's yes, it's melacha shein shir l'gufa, but the Rambam passes you're chayav. So why here does he say, well, you need to have the blood come out?
Because your purpose is to have it.
Why do I need that to be? I dig a hole for the dirt, right?
Right.
Not for the hole. So that's melacha shein shir l'gufa. So the Rambam says, you know what, you're chayav. I don't care why you did it, whether it's shir l'gufa or in a shir l'gufa. The Rambam takes the other approach in the Gemara. He's pretty much by himself. He says, we paskin, potter. We paskin like Rav Shimon, you're potter, right? Melacha shein shir l'gufa, potter. The Rambam says, chayav. So if the blood, so you would have thought that if I hit the person and the blood comes out, whether you need the blood, you don't need the blood, you're chayiv. It's a melacha shein shir l'gufa. The Rambam says you have to want the blood to come out. Okay, many different terutzim given, specifically why the Rambam needs this to be l'gufa. Why does Rambam say you need the blood? One of the answers revolves around just the issue, we're not going to go through it, is that there's another problem. Meaning, what's wrong with wounding? Wounding, taking the blood out is a melacha shein shir l'gufa, that's one. It's also mekalkel. Right? You're only chayav to bring a korban when you do a constructive malacha. Right? The malacha has to be constructive. Anything destructive is pater midoraisa. It's also the rabbana, but it's pater midoraisa. So here, not only is malacha shein shir l'gufa, it's also mekalkel. Right? You're harming the other person, you're destroying the other person. Right? So in order to get around that, so many of the Echron, and that's how they get around the Rambam, they say, yeah, well, he had to take into consideration both of these problems, and therefore he said you have to be chayav for it. Okay, so the Rambam says you're chayav nishabisha, and therefore you need to have a das kigro geres. You have to have separate out a certain amount, right, the size of a fig, in order to be chayav. Rabbi Nutam, when the Baal Yatosva says... If it's Sricha Lagufa, so then it might not be Makal. You need the blood, so you have to Sricha. What are you doing? I'm harming the guy, but what I want is blood. So I haven't harmed the blood, I have obtained something constructively I didn't have before. So if you need that, so then it might be good to come to Makal. Rabbi Nutam says this doesn't actually work. He says this doesn't work in a whole bunch of Tosfosim, to say Disha doesn't seem to fit the bill. A lot of Gemaras seem to contradict this problem. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what? It's really about Shechita. So shechita means to shecht an animal and kill it. So okay, if I do a blood test, I haven't killed you. Right? We would all agree I'm doing the blood test so that you'll live. I haven't killed you. So why should it be mishum shechita?
No,
this is to be a deraisa. This is not your problem. Not a gzeir or a problem. Not that if you do this, it'll come to something else. No. This is inherently an iser deraisa in itself. Not a siyag.
Because you're killing part of it.
Right. So he says, the Kara says, the ki hadam hu anefesh. Right? Then what's the shechita called? Netilas neshama. Taking away the neshama, right? There's malikatla kula, malikatla palka. What does it matter if I kill a whole person or kill part of a person? Right, if the blood is defined as the neshama, the nefesh of the person, whatever that means, what's the difference if I remove a little bit or remove a lot? So I killed a little bit of the person. When you draw blood, you've killed a little bit of the person, and killing a little bit of the person is nisa d'oraisa on Shabbos. And not only that, so what's going to be, so, okay? He says, netilas dam is netilas neshama. When you remove blood, it's as if you've killed a little bit of the guy. And it's not because you've weakened the person. Right? It's not because you've weakened him, you've made him weaker. So when you draw blood, is it considered as if you've killed him? You can say, well, I made him weaker, now he has less blood. Okay. People with less blood are weaker. Okay. It's not because of that, because why? Because there are two cases that the Gemara discusses, drawing blood on Shabbos. Two of them, it seems to describe a problem of drawing blood, which doesn't make sense. So first one is by Bris Milah. There are three steps to Bris Milah. You have to cut off the Or HaOrla, the outer membrane. You have to do Priya, remove the inner membrane. And then you have to do Metzitza, you have to suck out some of the blood. The Gemara says, why are you allowed to do Metzitza on Shabbos? Right? It should be Aser because of drawing blood. So the Gemara assumes that without doing Metzitza, with not doing Metzitza puts a child in a Sakana, that the Metzitza prevents a Sakana, so therefore the child is considered to be a Cholos Yeshmo Sakana. Metzitza is the therapy for that Sakana, as the Gemara says, and therefore you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Okay? Let's leave Metzitza out of it for a minute. What did the Gemara assume? The Gemara assumed that, wait a minute, Metzitza should be a problem of Chovel B'Shabbos, of drawing blood on Shabbos, right? But it's Mutter because it's because of Sakana. So the Tosfos points out, you're not trying to make the baby any weaker, right? The point of doing the mitzitza there is for, why are you doing this? Because it's going to help the baby in some way, not make him weaker. So of course it's not about making the baby weaker, right? The other case that the Gemara discusses...
You're saying the Gemara should have given the reason because we're not actually...
We don't need the blood. Tosfos is just pointing out, you see the Gemara assumed that it is an isser of removing, of drawing blood, and the purpose is certainly not to make the baby any weaker. You're doing this to make the baby healthy. So that can't be what's driving this prohibition. The other place the Gemara discusses it is about Ma'olivel Basul B'Shabbos, a woman who's a virgin, and she's going to have relations for the first time on Shabbos, right? So they just got married, and they're going to have relations now tonight, and it's Friday night. And he knows that she's a virgin, and he knows there'll be a problem of seeing blood, right? Because we're assuming that they'll see blood. So ramifications for Nida, not for Nida, whatever. The Gemara there wants to know, well, what about the prohibition? And the Gemara talks about it. So, Tosfos says, you're also not trying to weaken the woman, right? There's a problem of drawing blood there, and the purpose is certainly not to weaken the woman. It's just a ramification of what happens. It's just describing what happens. Tosfos points out, every time you draw blood, you're killing a little bit of the person. Blood is the nefesh, blood is the neshama. Drawing the blood itself is the prohibition of killing a little bit of the person. Okay? Any questions about that?
Wait, so the question was, we're not, when we do Matisse, we don't want the blood. So it's multiple changes.
The Gemara there says, well, why can you do Matisse? It should be Asar and Shabbos. Right?
Right.
And the answer is, you could do it because it helps the baby, because it's not kind of Nefashos. So Tosfos just points out, well, what did the Gemara think?
Right.
The point clearly is not to weaken the child. Why would you do this to weaken the child? Of course you're not weakening the child. Right? You're doing this for whatever reason you're doing this, but it's certainly not to weaken the child. So don't tell me the reason, the driving force here is to weaken the person. It has nothing to do with weakening the person. Any drawing blood, for whatever reason you need, is going to be us. You want the why is Matisa not an alacha shein shechita gufa?
Different question.
Why is it not an alacha shein shechita gufa? Very good. I don't know. We'll talk about it. Okay? Maybe we'll talk about it. I don't know. We'll see if we have time. But that's a separate question. The Gemara is clearly not assuming, you're not trying to weaken the child, though. And the Gemara still describes it as drawing blood on Shabbos, even when clearly the intent is not like that. So that can't be the driving force.
So,
yeah.
So the driving force is what? Of
the Gemara of the Gemara that any drawing blood in the Tefillah, according to Tosfos, is in the Tefillah Neshama.
So it must be, it can't be Shechita then, according to this.
No, it is Shechita. He said you're removing blood. Anytime you remove blood, it's going to be killed part of the person. But it's not a question of weakening them. Definitionally, removing blood is defined as weakening the person. So Tosfos is going to say the following, Rabbeinu Tam is going to say the following thing in order to get around. So what about Mitzitza? Let's say, right, that's the case, Mitzitza, by Mila.
Why would Rabbeinu Tam disagree?
No, that's Rabbeinu Tam's position. Rabbeinu Tam is saying Shechita, right? He says, and don't tell me, he says, and what do you mean Shechita? In Shechita, you're killing the animal. So maybe if I weaken the person, that's what it's talking about. He's asking on himself. He's saying, maybe the description of removing dam is about weakening the person, right? Just like Shechita. And therefore, only when I weaken the person am I chayav on Shabbos. If I draw blood and don't weaken the person anyway, I'm not chayav. He says, no. Any drawing of any blood is usher on Shabbos, you see from Mitzitza, where the Gemara assumes you'll be chayav on Shabbos, right? The Gemara assumes you'll be chayav on Shabbos, even though you have no intent whatsoever to weaken the person. Has nothing to do with weakening. By definition, removing any blood is going to be a prohibition of Netilas Neshama. So what about Mitzitza? Let's talk about Mitzitza for a minute. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam says, so why, when you do the Mitzitza, you don't really need the blood. Right? So why isn't Melacha Shein Tzirka
L'Gufa? Because it's just a byproduct. It's not your actual...
No, so why isn't... But the Gemara assumes that it should be a Sederaisa.
Because you are doing it for the blood.
Well, I don't want the blood. The blood test, I'm doing for the blood. I'm going to take the blood and say, I'm not going to give my dog to eat. I'm not going to give the blood. I don't want the blood out. After you do Mitzitza, you spit it out. You don't want the blood. So it should be a classic Malach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa, right? But the Gemara describes it as you should be Chayav, but it's a Malach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa, so it's Mudra, right? But the Gemara assumes you'll be Chayav. So the Gemara assumes it's Tzricha L'Gufa, right? The Gemara assumes that there's nothing wrong here. There's nothing lacking in the prohibition. So Rabbeinu Tam says the following. He says, look. He says, whether you're doing it to remove the blood or you're doing it to make the person be without the blood, that's also the same thing. You want this baby to be missing that blood, right? For whatever reason. We can give anachronistic reasons from today until tomorrow why Chazal thought Mitzitza was necessary. Right? They clearly thought that this blood needs to come out. Removing this blood makes this child healthy. That's certainly what Chazal assumed. Okay, let's leave out modern discussion. But that's certainly what Chazal assumed. Removing this blood will make this child healthier. He says, making the child healthier, that's the answer. That's positive, right? That's a positive action. It's constructive. You're making the child healthier.
That's a different part.
Okay, so we'll talk about Mekalkel. Fine. We'll talk about Mekalkel being an issue. So maybe Mekalkel doesn't apply by Mila. Maybe it does apply by Mila. It's a separate discussion, Mekalkel by Mila. But by Mila itself, you're cutting. What about Mila itself? Why is Mila...
I'm saying that there is no such thing as Malachashen Tzricha
L'Gufa, but you could have, you could not. Rabbeinu Tam would say the following. Rabbeinu Tam would assume that if I slap a person and dam comes out, and I don't want that dam to come out, it would be Malachashen Tzricha L'Gufa. Right? It has to be some purpose, something going on.
Oh, so wanting the blood to come out.
Either wanting the blood to come out or wanting the person to be without blood. So the Rambam said, oh, when the blood comes out, it makes you, and I just took my anger out on this guy, and I just slapped him, blood came out, so that relieves my angst that I had before. That's constructive. Let's assume not like that, so then Rabbeinu Tam would say no.
Wanting the blood to come out is the same. I can see
that. Wanting it or wanting it to be out, right?
Those are the two.
You're writing, either I want the blood to feed my dog, to do a blood test, or I need this person specifically to be without blood. So for example, they used to do leeching back in the day, right?
Yeah.
The person they thought was sick, they put the leeches on them and would suck the blood out. Right? Now, why would they do this?
To remove blood impurities.
Impurities, right? They need to get that blood that's bad that needs to come out, right? So is that a Doraisa or a Drabana, the point of the town?
Drabana, because you're just... It just happens to be that you're removing the blood in order to cure the person, but you don't actually need the blood.
No, they want that... That blood needs to come out. That blood is impure. Whatever that means.
I guess it would be.
I don't want the blood.
No, but you're still, that action is still removing
it. I want that blood out of him, right? So the Magen Avraham points out, leeching on Shabbos is a Daraisa. Why? I don't care what happens to that blood. I don't want it. It's going to go into the leech, and I'm going to throw out the leeches of the lake. I don't really need the leech. right? But I want that blood out of the guy. I specifically want it removed. That's going to be constructive. Okay?
That would be the same as wanting to feed your pet leech.
Yeah. If you, right. Okay, but I don't care about the leech here, right? Right. Okay. Rashi, interestingly, in one place says it's soveya. We don't really pass on that way, though, so we're going to erase it. Okay? He says soveya. The question of bona and soser might be relevant to making the hole to puncture, which we're not going to talk about right now. But, and we're going to assume right now it's going to come down really to shchita versus disha. Okay? And what are some nafkamina between shchita versus disha? Okay, so the Prima Gadim points out.
So we don't have to know the other category.
The Rambam at one point, the Rashi at one point says soveya, but that's not quoted in the halacha. The only ones that are quoted in the halacha are the Rambam and Rabin Tam, whether it's disha or shchita. Okay? So the first nafkamina is, the Prima Gadim says, so how do we pass him? It's unclear a little bit. So the Prima Gadim said, well, one nafkamina is, what if you draw blood from a corpse? What do you think?
According to Rambam, it would be usher. According to Rambam,
right? Exactly. According to the Rambam, you're separating blood from a piece of meat. I don't care what it is. Alive, dead, human, animal, doesn't matter. It's chayav, it's disha. But according to the Rabbi Tam, where it's the kilas neshama, because you're killing him a little bit, the man's dead. Yeah, if the man's dead, the man's dead. Leave it alone. You can't be chayav on the kilas neshama from a dead piece of meat. Or a dead person, right? That would be the first nafkamina, right? If we draw blood from a corpse. Okay, we'll avoid that question. Okay, yeah. So that's the first question. That's one of the first nafkamina. Is blood from a corpse? Right. The second one the Be'er Halacha points out is the shear. How much blood do you have to take out to be chayav a korban? Right. You're chayav the raisa even if you do less than the shear. But to bring a korban, you have to be chayav a certain amount. So according to the Rambam, it's disha, you need to have a drogeres, the size of a small fig. According to Rabbi Tam, well, you're killing a little bit of the guy, I don't care how little you're killing of the person. Any little bit that you kill of the person, you're killing that little bit of the person. So you'd be chayav a korban even on less than a drogeres, right? So for example, if you tested your blood sugar on Shabbos, you would probably not be chayav a korban. If you're assuming you're not a diabetic, if a healthy person would test their blood sugar on Shabbos, it's probably less than a drogeres. It's a very small amount. Nonetheless, according to Rabbi Yatam, you're chayav a korban. According to the Rambam, you are not. Okay? So what about something interesting? Cord blood. Do you know what cord blood is?
Umbilical cord?
Umbilical cord blood, yes. So there's two ways to get stem cells, right? So we can get stem cells from embryos. We can also get stem cells from cord blood. Let's use stem cells out of it. Sorry. Try again. Okay. So when the baby is born, the baby in the womb is attached by the umbilical cord to the placenta. The placenta is a piece of flesh that attaches to the mother's uterus, and that's how the baby gets nutrients. And the baby comes out attached by his belly button to this long cord, right? And the baby has to cut the cord on Shabbos. You're allowed to cut the cord. We talked about that. You have to cut the umbilical cord so that the baby can be separate from the mother. Fine. So the blood in the umbilical cord has unique properties, meaning the blood in the baby has unique properties that it can develop into all sorts of, it's like a prototype, a blood stem cell, right? It's yet undeveloped blood. It can go in a bunch of different directions. And so, in theory, should someone, this child or otherwise, need a blood transfusion or blood product sometime in life, God forbid they should have cancer, and they will need, probably not them, because if they have a genetic problem, so they're not going to want their stem cells, so they may have a problem with them. But somebody else's, that these stem cells, right, when we do a bone marrow transplant, we want to get the stem cells, right? Why would you go into someone's bone marrow as opposed to just, when we do a bone marrow transplant, right? Someone who's who has cancer and needs, and they have leukemia, let's say, or they have other cancer, and we do a bone marrow transplant. That means we're going to kill all the bone marrow makes the blood cells, right? We're going to destroy all the person's bone marrow and give them new bone marrow. So it used to be, the way you did this was you went into a healthy person and went into their bone marrow and took out some marrow and gave it to the other person. Why do you need bone marrow? Because that's the only place you can find blood stem cells in the person, right? I need to give this patient the building blocks to make more blood, right? Just giving him more blood isn't going to help him because he's missing, we just killed the whole building block apparatus for making blood in his body, right? We destroyed all of his bone marrow, which are the build, that's how you make blood. If we destroyed all of his bone marrow, just giving him blood isn't going to help him because after those blood cells die, he has no way of making more. So we give him the stem cells that can create more blood, right? More blood cells, and once he has those stem cells, they can keep making stem cells and keep making blood and he'll be fine. We used to go into the bone marrow, deep into the bone, because that's the only place you have stem cells. Now we can give you drugs to make, we can give the healthy volunteer drugs for a week or so to make them have stem cells into the blood, and then we can just draw the blood out. Fine. But this umbilical cord blood has... Yeah. So most bone marrow donation nowadays is, if you're chosen as a volunteer because you match, they will give you an injection for 4 or 5 days, right? Which will encourage the stem cells from your bone marrow to go into your peripheral blood. And then you will go and sit in front of a machine for 6 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever. It will dry out some blood, filter out the stem cells, and give you blood back. Really not. It's similar. It's called a apheresis. Very similar to dialysis. Does the same thing, sort of, but filters for something else. But same idea. Virtually, it's not painless. I can't say it's painless, but it's not surgical. And supposedly, you either, when you get the injections, you either feel like you're pregnant or feel like you have the flu. Not like the end of the world to feel like you're pregnant, to save somebody else's life, I think. Right? You realize you're saving someone else's life. Fine. Anyway, so you can get these, you can get these same type of stem cells from the umbilical cord. So after the baby's cord, after the baby cut the cord, so now the baby's cord's cut, but there's another cord attached to the placenta. So the placenta is often delivered after the baby, right? The placenta's still inside after the baby's born. Couple of minutes later, whatever, the placenta comes out. So, we're going to draw blood. Yes, a little bit gross. We're going to draw blood, right? So there's a... How are we going to do this without being graphic? Okay, mother. Cord. And baby. Okay. Yeah? Okay. That was nice and symbolic, right? This is the umbilical cord. Going from the word mother to the word baby. And we cut it. So we're not going to draw any blood from here because the baby was just born. So I'm not going to mess with it, right? So we're going to draw blood from the blood that's in this umbilical cord. So actually, before... Placenta. Placenta and then to the mother, right? So the placenta is like this block that's going to come out. So the placenta is in the uterus, and this whole thing is going to come out in a minute. Okay? So what we do is, you take a syringe, and you stick it into the artery that's in the cord, and you draw the blood out, and then you can start it. It's wonderful. It's great.
Do they do that every...
No, not every place. So what do you do with this blood after you store it? After you've got it, and it was in your syringe, and then what?
Freeze it.
You have to store it, right? So we're going to charge you an arm and a leg to do that, because we can, because we've scared you now, and you need this blood. And so we can charge you as much as we want to store it, and we can change the prices on you in the middle, and we can do all sorts of things, right? And you can do that. So if you want to do this, you can, and you can store this blood, and you can make
store it in your freezer?
No, it needs to be like white something. It needs to be like sterile. It needs blood. I mean, it has to be done in such a way that it can still be used afterwards, so it has to be stored in the proper way.
It's jelly.
So, some people keep the placenta. I mean, my wife knows a family that keeps the placentas in their freezer. It's just strange.
What?
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Very disturbing, right?
Horrible.
Like, not eating Shabbos lunch in your house. So there are also places that have a public court of blood bank, which means that they'll draw from everybody. Every kid that's there, you don't pay for anything. It's stored in the hospital. And then the policy is should your child ever need blood, they can come to the bank in the hospital and get it. I mean, we'll take from everybody, because the likelihood is you will never need it.
So it's really like a bank.
It is. But the likelihood is you will never need it. Right? You will almost never need it. Right? That's statistically. Someone else is very likely going to need it. And if you should need it, you can offer it from the bank.
Whose blood is it in the placenta?
So it's technically the baby's, but the baby derives blood from the mother, right? So it's technically the baby's.
And the baby doesn't wish the same blood type as the mother.
Right.
How does that work?
That's a... Yeah.
We'll leave that's what the placenta's for?
Sort of. Not for them, okay? But Nisa, that happens, okay? So the baby misses the baby's blood.
The question is, can we grow blood?
Can you do it on Shabbos? Can you do this on Shabbos? And you can't tell me it's a Makom Sakana. This baby is not sick. The chances of this baby ever being sick are slim to none. Very, very, very low. And even should the child, God forbid, get sick, the likelihood that this blood is going to help him is even lower, right? He has to be a very specific type of sick. So you can't tell me it's a Sakana. So, Okay, so let's think about it. According to the Rambam, can you do this?
No.
No, right? Because according to Prima Gaddim, he said drawing blood from a corpse. What's the point of saying from a corpse? It means from a person that's no longer alive. There's only tefillas in the sham, right? What's the difference? Here, but nonetheless, according to the Rambam, you're chayav because you're removing a liquid from a solid. So here too, even if you say the placenta is already detached from the mother, it's separate circulation than the mother, right? It's separate than the mother. When you draw that blood, you're not putting any strain on the mother's blood system.
It's an organ.
It's already separate, but it could even already separate from her uterus. It's already about to come out. Even if it's outside, let's say the placenta is outside and sitting on the table. If you draw blood from that, according to the Rambam, it seems like you'd be chayav, right? Because you're separating a liquid from a solid. According to Rabbi Tam, though, you can't tell me between tefillos and neshama. This is a neshama. This is nothing. This isn't alive. This is a piece of meat. It's not a neshama at all. So I just pointed out maybe it should depend if the placenta is still in, the placenta is still out. But it should depend whether we pass like Rambam or Rabbi Tam. And Savlovsky in the Shir had once said that Ashkenazim we pass like Rabbi Tam, and therefore it should be mutter. Ashkenazim should pass like Rabbi Tam. There's no tefillos and neshama here whatsoever. Because you can't tell me she's a tefillah shama. It's not alive, the placenta. This cord is not alive. We're not taking it from the baby side, we're taking it from the placenta side. It's completely permissible. So there was an article in Tchumen, Rabbi Yosef Eitan, who wanted to say it was permissible even according to the Rambam. Right? Because the Be'er Halacha is unsure. Do you pass it like the Rambam, do you pass it like the Tam? It should go either way. He's not sure. So he wants to make sure it's permissible according to both approaches. So according to Rabbi Tam, it's pretty clear that this is permissible, right? Yes? We agree? So he says, based on the Rishon Mezalmedin, Egli Tal, that you're only chayav dash when you actually squeeze something out, not when it comes out on its own. It's a little bit hard to know. So he wants to think that according to Rishon Mezalmedin, it would be permissible. Okay. I think Pashat Pshat is according to the Rambam, it should be Yasser. And according to Rabbi Tam, I think that's Pashat Pshat, according to Rabbi Tam, it should be permissible. A guy can do it, though, right? Because for them it's mutter. They're not doing it really on your behalf. They're doing something not for you, exactly. So it should be fine. Fine. With a couple of minutes we have left, so we just pointed out that bloodletting would be Yasser, right? Putting leeches on, drawing blood out. Anything that you want the person to be without this blood is going to be an issue of the rice, so it'll be Tzrich or Gufa. Okay. One other ha'ara, the Gemara in Ksuvis, when it's talking about right the having relations for the first time on Shabbos, says, oh, there's two types of blood. Okay? What kind? What do you mean? It's two types of blood. So there's something called there's Dam Chibure Mechbar. And Dam is Mifkat Pocket. Chibure mechbar, Sally, it's connected, the blood is connected to whatever it is that you're drawing from. And mifkat pocket sounds like, well, it's just sitting there in the pool. Okay. I have no idea what that's talking about. No clue. There is no blood that's just sitting in the pool. Any blood that's sitting in the pool is going to clot. All blood is moving. I don't know what chibure mechbar means. I always thought it meant that. I forget what I thought it meant. I have no idea. The Gemara assumes that removing dam, as people remember, is Issa D'Oraisa. Removing dam from Mifkat Pocket is not an Issa D'Oraisa.
So what? Like the blood in like a woman's hymen is a flow.
The Gemara wants to say is that Mifkat Pocket or Chibure Mefer? I cannot give a physiological explanation for what the difference between those two things is. Blood everywhere is flowing. There is no blood sitting in
the pool. Like issues of like what they thought back then and what we either.
Right. So I have no idea. But I do know that anything that's mifkat pocket is not chayav. Right? So for example, forget removing blood from it. Let's say the person does have blood sitting in the pool. Right? So now they're really sick. Or they have pus. Or they have an abscess. An abscess is right, a collection of bacteria with liquid in their stomach. So that person is a chalashesh basakana. Great. Okay. But nonetheless, is removing that going to be an issur d'oraisa or issur d'rabbanan? What do you think? Be an issur d'rabbanan. It's mifkat pocket. That I know is mifkat pocket. It's not going anywhere. You have like something in your stomach with fluid sitting in one place that needs to be removed. First of all, is a chalashesh basakana.
This is totally separate from what everything we plan. In other words, like even if you
tzarich
the goof of the blood.
Doesn't matter. Mifkat pocket is not considered a problem. Whatever that means, whatever mifkat pocket in that Gemara referring to blood means, I'm not sure. Mifkat pocket means it's sitting there. Anything else that's just sitting there is going to be permissible. So removing a fluid pocket or a blood pocket or a pus pocket, right, an abscess, so the presence of cholesterol is post-sacrum. So, okay, but just got it.
So, like,
what level of isser is it, at least in learning, the isser is an isser derabon, it's not going to be isser derayse.
You could say that a cord and the cord blood is mifkat pocket.
Oh, is that mifkat pocket or fibrin mefras? I don't know. So if you look, the Tzitz Eliezer, we've talked about him a couple of times, quotes tshuva of tshuvas kol gadol of Maharam ben Chabib. He says, you know what the difference between mechbar chibur and mechbar mifkat pocket is? He says, blood that is in your arteries and veins, that's mifkat pocket. Why? It's inside a container. It's inside a flow. It's flowing. What's chibur and mechbar? It's blood that's not inside anything. Meaning, when you cut someone's arm with a knife, like this, so now you can see the arteries and you can also see the flesh. When you do the blood sugar testing, what are you poking? What are you drawing blood from?
Arteries.
No, the blood sugar testing. The arteries, you never draw blood from arteries. You never in your life draw blood from an artery, you never forget.
I'm not like the blood system.
No. When you're doing a blood test from your finger,
capillaries,
right? Which are admittedly small tubes, but you really can't see. It sounds like more like the muscle, right? You're drawing a little bit of blood from the muscle.
What's the flesh?
Blood that comes out from flesh is the word mefbar. It's attached into the flesh, right?
But physiologically, they're really inside a little tube.
But I can't see them. Meaning, whether I can see the tube or not see the tube is going to be a difference. But when it's inside a tube that I can see, it's flowing in the tube, that's mifkat pocket. That's the tshuvas kol gadol of Maharam and Chaviv. This is not very well accepted. Not very well known.
About shechita, I do both. Yeah, but the thing that kills it is taking the blood out of its...
So you could say there's two separate things. Even according to the, you could say there's shechita's only killing the animal. According to the Rambam, when you kill an animal, you're chayav shechita? No, you're chayav shochet. The Rambam thinks shochet is one of the 39 malachos. But that's when you kill something. When you kill something, then you killed it, and that's a separate malach. This is drawing blood that doesn't kill someone, right? So they want to know the achronim. Oh, so when you kill an animal on Shabbos, I should be chayav twice. I should be chayav mishum shochet and chayav mishum disha. Why does the Rambam say that? Okay, so they have answers.
So bloodletting relations is considered mifkat pocket?
The Gemara wants to know. Irrelevant for our purposes. I'm just saying I don't know how to describe that. So the Maharam of Chaviv is telling you that blood that comes out of flesh, I mean, all blood is really, not all blood, there's intracellular blood that's outside, right? Interstitial, that's not in tubes. There is blood that's not going to be in capillaries, right? But the blood that's in the tubes, let's say, meaning arteries, veins that I can see, that's mifkat pocket. It's sitting there. I can see the blood. I can see the tube, and I can see the blood inside of it. That's mifkat pocket. But the blood that seems to come out of the flesh, that's figura mefka. I think that's very intuitive. That's what they saw. Is there a tube or not a tube, right? I think that makes a lot of sense. And yes, it's capillaries, but you can't see that. So we, in halacha, we're only going to care about what we can see. That was his definition of figura mefka or mifkat pocket. So.
Wait, it's the hymen of.
It's just a piece of flesh. So, okay, so I'm still stuck in the Gemara. I don't know how to deal with that Gemara. I'm still stuck in... Right, fine. I'm still stuck because I don't know what to do with that Gemara because it sounds like it's...
Busted to bring it up, this distinction.
It should be the Gemara. Unless they thought something else. Really, I haven't seen it inside.
Is it found elsewhere?
No, he's the only one that makes it.
No, I mean...
not really.
In the Gemara.
Yeah, the Gemara by Mila says, but Mitzitza, he says, I would have thought the Dam of Mifkat pocket... And therefore, it's permissible. The Gemara says, you can do the mitzitza on Shabbos. Another mission says, you can do the mitzitza on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, of course you can do the mitzitza on Shabbos. You just hold it, it's a sarkani. Right? Of course you do it, it's a sarkani. He said, I would have thought that it's mifkat pocket, and it's permissible anyway. Kamash Ralan, that it's chibur and mefkar. I mean, it's really an isur deraisa, but it's mutter for the sarkani. So that time, it's chibur and mefkar at the same. That's great. Right? I just don't know how you could have the same. What was the question? I don't know what the Hafamina was. I don't know how to send the Mark Subas quite a bit. So the Tzitz Eliezer is just saying, when we draw blood though, you're drawing blood from a vein, right? So according to Maharam ben Chaviv, it's necessary to draw blood. Right? Which is already. So can I do this, right? An Issa Drabban. We always said for a Cholos Eibos Sakana, you're allowed to do an Issa Drabban B'Shinui. The Chaya Adam points out, when you can't do a Shinui, it's permissible anyway. It's needed for his benefit. If you can't do a shinui, it's permissible anyway. So drawing blood, you can't do with a shinui, right? The point is, the Ramah says, when you can do a shinui, do a shinui. So, if I need to draw blood from a cholos ein bo sakana, and it's Nisa Daraisa, I have no choice. If it's Nisa Darabanan, I should ideally do a Shinui if I can. If I can't, the Chayadam says, and you really, really need to do it, you can do it anyway. So the Tzitzel Ezra points out, then you can do a blood test, right? Meaning, for Chol Shein Basakan, according to Ma'arav Bet Chaviv, you can do a blood test on Shabbos, because the blood is coming from the vein or the artery, but not from the flesh, right? Fine. Last thing, we'll stop with this. We talked 2 times ago or so about an IV, right? When you put in an IV, so an IV has to go into your vein, right? So how do you know that the needle's in the vein? Remember we talked about this? When you put the needle in, there's something called flashback, right? So IV means I'm going to put fluid into you. I don't want blood out of you, I want fluid into you, okay? But I have to get it into a vein. So how am I going to get into your vein? So I'm going to take a needle and poke it into your vein, then put a catheter through, like a tube, right? And then I'm going to attach it to the IV pole and attach the fluid to come through. How do I know I'm in the vein, right? This is very important. We need to know we're in the right place, so I don't just stick fluid everywhere. I'm going to drop a liter of fluid. I don't want to put that into you anywhere. So what happens is something called flashback. Inside the IV little needle guy, here's the needle. So there's something called flashback here. This will fill up with blood when you hit a vein. Because if you don't hit the vein, you hit just the flesh, you only need a drop or two, it's not going to fill up. You hit the vein, right? And that fills up with blood, right? And then you actually throw this whole thing out, you put the catheter forward, and you attach it. So can I give, so, okay. Is there an issur in putting in an IV on Shabbos? So really no. They shouldn't be putting in fluid, what's the problem? Problem is, what about this blood? Right? The nafkamina is going to be, can I do this for cholos ein bo sakana? If this is an issur d'oraisa, I'm up the creek. If this is an issur d'oraisa, I can't do it for cholos ein bo sakana. If it's an issur d'rabbanan, and I cannot do it machinoi, so we'll allow it for cholos ein bo sakana. Right? What do you think? What do you think this blood is?
Well, it happens to come out while you're doing it, so that's not your actual purpose.
So you think it's ein trickle gufo?
Yeah.
Anyone disagree?
Main purpose is to test pressure, not
to test. No. Main purpose is to tell me where I am.
Oh, right.
So Tzitzel Ezra says, you don't want this blood. You don't want the blood. You don't need this blood at all. It's going in the garbage. You don't want this blood at all. Welcome to ein trickle gufo.
And you're also telling
I don't need the blood to be added at all. If someone's out of the said, no, I need this blood. Otherwise, I don't know where I am.
You're using it now. You need it.
I'm not using the blood in the classic sense. If Mara says you're using the blood, you're giving this blood to your animal, something physical with the blood is happening. Here, I'm using the blood as an indicator. Right? The blood here is functioning as an indicator. Right? It's indicating to me that I am in the vein. So is when blood is being taken out as an indicator, as opposed to something inherent in itself, is that tzirich l'gufo or in the tzirich l'gufo? So it happens to be machlokas, Tzitzel Yasser and Rishlomo Samna Orbach. We'll leave the details out of it. So this is a Tzitzel Yasser. And Rishlomo Zalman, he says it is tzirich l'gufo. Why? Because, and you see where this, right, this is already going to be a logical spark, right? You need the blood, but only to indicate something else is happening. So is that going to be tzirich l'gufo or ein tzirich l'gufo? And that means is, if it's ein tzirich l'gufo, it's an issur d'rabbanan. And it's going, if it's tzirich l'gufo, it's a d'oraisa. The nafkamina is, can I do this for cholos she'ein bo sakana? Many people who come into the emergency room on Shabbos are cholos she'ein bo sakana, thank God, right? They're not cholos she'ein bo sakana. We pretty much give IVs to everybody. So is that permissible to do that? So first of all, in this country again, most of the people doing this are going to be not Jewish, so it's going to be unreal enough. Fine. But in Israel, we're using a Jewish nurse or a Jewish doctor, is this permissible for cholos she'ein bo sakana? So Tzitzel Ezra would say yes, or Shlomo Orbach would say no. Rabbi Tzion Avashol is quoting as agreeing with the Tzitzel Ezra. Rav Ovadia in one place is quoted as agreeing with the Tzitzel Ezra. Practically, Dr. Abraham told me that most places are choshesh, that Shlomo Zalman was right, and they try to avoid doing this whenever possible. For cholos she'ein bo sakana, right? Cholos she'ein bo sakana, so whose life is not at risk here, we try to avoid it or to use a non Jew if they can.
Hospitals,
yeah. I mean, where else are you putting in IVs?
No, I mean the hospital care.
Those hospitals that care, or those doctors that care, so let's say Shari Tzedek or Laniato, where they care generally, so then they try to avoid it whenever possible, or they have a non Jewish, they have 1 or 2 non Jewish people there on Shabbos who do these type of things that are machlokes haposkim or something else. Again, when lives aren't on the line, nobody's life here is on the line. They're cholos she'ein bo sakana. So right, we said the chalos of yesh basakana. Should you use a non-Jew? Should you not use a non-Jew? This is irrelevant. This is a chalos of ein basakana. You could use a non-Jew because it helps you get around the machlokes.
You can't do it with a
shiur? No, it's hard enough to do without a shiur.
I feel like I would want to go to the less religious hospitals.
Yeah. Why? If you need it, they'll put it in. You don't need it.
If you don't know if you need it or not.
If there's a suffix, we put it in, right? Any suffix, we put it in. There's a lot of patients we give an IV to who they don't really need an IV. But we do it because why hospital protocol gives us an IV? Any reason that you could possibly really need it, they'll do it, because then it's gonna be mutter. Right? Or you could rely on Sisal Yezer. So if you hold like the Sisal Yezer, Rav Avadia, so it'll be mutter anyway. Okay, fine. Adkan?